Welcome, love, to the Way of Grace podcast. I'm your host, Nina, faith-based and devotional leadership mentor for women who are inspired to bring love where it hasn't gone before. Inside this space, you'll find courageous conversations on restoring your relationship with God, emboldening your faith, healing with the masculine, and resurrecting your cherished feminine essence. I'm so grateful to have your heartbeat here. Let's dive in. Hi, beauty. Welcome back to the Way of Grace podcast. I'm your host, Nina, and today I am ecstatic to sit down with a dear, beautiful friend and sister, Edie Holdenson. And Edie is a woman that, goodness, Edie, I don't even know when we found each other, when we connected. It hasn't been that long, but you've been a woman that has really made an impact on my life through what you share, through what you write, through what you speak, through what you teach. And I've had the joy and pleasure of receiving some of Edie's work personally. And yeah, just being in a co-creational field with her through other spaces. And I just admire what I'm going to say is your fire. Like, I feel a fire from you. I feel the wind in you. And I just also feel this heart of gold who's really just here to drip the honey and goodness of God's love and really help women to come into the remembrance of how cherished they are and how they get to live a prosperous and abundant life with God, and that they get to really walk in God's glory on this earth as a co-creator with him and with the divine. And I'm just so excited, Edie, because you just speak so much beauty through these topics that, you know, seemingly I think can be activating and charge, especially for those that have come from a religious background and are now maybe, you know, reconstructing their relationship with God and what that gets to look like in a more liberated sense. And when I think of you, I really do think of freedom and liberation. So I'm just so excited to sit down because we're going to go into the realms of power and authority and co-creation and the Holy Spirit and just really, I feel what God calls us to walk into as we walk with him. And I couldn't think of a better person to have this conversation with. So Edie, I'm just so, so grateful. And I would love for you to just open and share, yeah, some of your journey and coming home to God, deepening your relationship with him and what that path and process has looked like for you.
Thank you so much. Oh my goodness. I'm so honored and humbled because you have been so, so key on my journey of unwinding religion. And I'm excited to share that and what that's looked like. So thank you so much, Nina, for having me and being allowing me to speak and yeah, just hopefully pour into these ladies together. So for me, yes, I grew up in Christianity, in religion heavily, like the, you know, when you think of Christian and religion, the whole bit, you know, out evangelizing and, you know, read your Bible every day, pray every day, or, you know, you're not, we wouldn't say you're going to hell, but like, that's the implication. Do it enough times and you're going to backslide and fall into the lake. But I, from a young age, always had a hunger for the things of God. And there was a true love there. And it grew and it grew. And then in college, I was a part of a ministry, an on-campus ministry, that the more I study it and learn and see the effects on me and others, that it could truly be called a cult. And so there were some distortions of who God was just from being in the religious institution. And we'll talk more about that. I'm not saying that every and all institution is negative, but there was a lot in there. But then this experience was just utterly fragmenting. And it was because the voice of God was almost explicitly being conflated with the voice of the leader. And my standing with God was explicitly being conflated with my involvement in this group. And then there was this hyper-focus on proselytizing and converting, and we have the one right way, and we would judge other Christian organizations on campus. I remember there was one in particular that the people just seemed so like free and light, and we're like, oh, they're not real Christians. Look how lighthearted and peaceful they are. Like, which is so funny because that is the fruit of the spirit, right? Peace. And so from that experience, after leaving that group, began several years of like just depression and suicidal thoughts. And I've referred to myself as like in the past, like recovering like a suicidal Pharisee, turned radiant co-heir, because that was me. Like, I had so much judgment for others. I had so much con supposed conviction about what was right, what was wrong, what you should be doing with your life. And all this hate was simply because it was bubbling from the inside. And like all the hate I spewed was directed first towards me, and myself. And that's something I have to remember as I'm interacting with people who are in the same place that I was in. It can be hard to hear some of these things, to be called a heretic, and know, like, just this is I would have said the same thing 4 years ago, 5 years ago, So anyways, grappling with this and struggling in my relationships, getting married, having kids, and all of this, trying to just continue to keep up the facade, continue to run the same program of earning, God's love and affection, and all the while being blessed, being cherished, being cared for, in the midst of it. Like it says in Psalms or Proverbs, like God reigns on the righteous and unrighteous, those who acknowledge him and those who don't. And I was trying to acknowledge him, but even in that, he just continued to hold me even when I didn't realize, And so I reached a point where I watched a documentary, if anybody's seen, it's called Shiny Happy People. But it's about kind of the Duggars and some of that the interesting things that are happening. I won't even say interesting, I won't even sugarcoat it, but like the very toxic and harmful things that are be happening behind the scenes, and especially towards women. And my heart is deeply for my sisters. And I remember that night, like it was like midnight, and we were visiting my parents, so I was in a room by myself. And I was like, you know what, Jesus, even if you are God, if I have to live a terrible 80 years on earth to then hopefully make paradise, like I can't do it. Like I can't do it anymore. I know that this moment, this present moment exists, and I know that these people are precious, whether or not you believe them to be, whether or not your people say they are, and I know that's truth. And if you're opposed to that, then I can't serve you. And it was so frightening because my whole life had been built on this concept of God and Jesus and faith, but realized not really faith, but it had been built on certainty, on believing that I knew who God was, who he loves, how he loves. Does that make sense? And so that was a beautiful undoing of falling into the nothingness and falling into the I don't know, and maybe I'm wrong. And from that came this beautiful and rich relationship, this relearning of who God is, this relearning of Jesus's words, and being like, oh my goodness, realizing how far off the mark oftentimes we've gone in religion. And there's this control and this fear that's just passed down, and anyway, so that, I mean, that was really the catalyst for my journey. And since then, it has been reintegrating the beautiful and amazing good parts that I've gained from my like religious journey before this kind of transformation, and also learning and growing and meeting these new aspects and personality, and I guess meeting God in these new ways and in deeper intimacy. And it's funny, the last thing I'll say on this part is there have been times when God was whispering to me, and I mistook it for the voice of the enemy because it was so tender, so loving. And I was like, I'm not doing greasy grace. Like, this can't be God because it's so loving, so cherishing, and I had bought into this idea of the tyrant, even if I couldn't articulate it. So anyway, it's just interesting to look back and see that journey and be like, wow, that was God. He's always been there guiding me into this. So yeah.
Yeah, I love hearing about your story and journey so much, Edie, because it's so different than mine. And I really love talking to people that grew up more in the church and with religion. And, you know, I hope through this conversation, y'all know, like, Edie and I are not bashing the church
Definitely.
and religion in
Yeah.
any way. Like, in its
Definitely.
highest intention, I think religion, you know, is
Yes.
here to create a structure to hold beautiful spiritual beliefs. But then I see it as like this beautiful waterfall. And then, like, eventually, like, the waterfall gets very constricted because of all of the dogma and the law and the
Exactly.
legalism and the doctrine and, yeah, the misinterpretations that essentially keep us, like, what I was hearing a lot was, yeah, this conflict between, you know, still being kind of like this earning consciousness and like orphan spirit,
Exactly.
trying to reconcile with like true beloved identity and like this gnosis of how chosen and cherished I am, but like holding almost the leaven of both. It's like still on that one shoulder is the Pharisee telling you, this is what you have to do, and you have to check off the boxes and, you know, make sure you're staying in the straight and narrow, and it's like very black and white. And then there's like, you know, Jesus on the other shoulder, like telling you, like, you are so wholly loved, like, just, you know, receive that wrapping of my grace. And even myself, not growing up religious, I think we're all impacted, you know, by that spirit of religion, of, you know, Pharisee, you know, that real law and legalism. And it's taken me even a while in my own journey, which has always been relationship based, but to kind of own that I would rather be called heretical than I ever would be called, you know, religious in any way, because I think Jesus was far more heretical than he ever was religious. And I love, like, I mean, could go off on a whole tangent on that, but I love the frequency in what you bring in around, yeah, being a co-heir and like what this really calls us into, because I think so much of the focus in religion is on, yeah, like what we're saved from. And it's like, okay, do all the things so that you get that seat in paradise and, you know, heaven is awaiting you and, you know, and you gotta, you know, repent your sins so you don't go to hell and all of that, versus like the beauty and magnificence of what we're saved for, which I think is meant to be the larger focus, because that's really what brings us into freedom and liberation. And to me, that's what brings us into our royal heirhood, you know, as sons and daughters of the Most High, as beloved brides, you know, to the Most High King. And yeah, I would love for you to share anything that's alive for you in that, Edie, of like, yeah, what that reclamation is like and what that really starts to call us into.
I love that. And that's so true. There's just this deepening of, oh man, here, I'll start here. And this is another thing that may sound heretical, but I truly believe that Jesus' message was less about worshiping. The focus was less on worshiping and more on creating together. And
Them.
from and I mean, we being in relationship with one who loves you so deeply and so perfectly, it engenders awe and just what we would call worship. You know, it's a natural outgoing. So I'm not saying that we are not in a deep gratitude that we express and we sit in towards God, but I think oftentimes we connect with God as some fragmented pieces we've seen from the Old Testament. You know, there's and this is a whole theological thing, but we see images of the angry God, the God who needs blood spilled, right? The God who kills women and children and all these things. And I think that becomes encoded in us. And so we're in this state of appeasing. And the thought that God wants to build with us and enjoy life doesn't even cross our mind. Because when that thought enters and you actually go back and read Jesus's words, I don't he mentions worship to the Samaritan woman, and you know, you guys worship here, where you not don't know, etc. But nowhere does Jesus ever even say worship God. And I'm not saying that we don't do that as an outspring of love, but the focus is not on a on separation, right? When we think
Exactly.
of this God on the top of the mountain that we are giving our sacrifice to and hoping that our words and our praise will reach and he'll be satisfied. That's not what it is. It's the loving adoration, just as if you know, with a husband and wife, we don't worship our spouse, but we're in that deep place of just surrender to the who they are and the beauty of that and celebrating that. And so one, I think when we start when we start allowing that possibility to enter our mind, we then begin to see in scripture that Jesus was far more concerned about the here and now and ushering in this beauty, and that we are the ones to do it, than avoiding eternal damnation, you know. And it's a hard thing to unravel because fear of hell, fear of retribution, even in the here and now, is heavy and it's hard and it's effective in keeping us in line, frankly.
Keeping us
I
controlled to a degree.
yes, yeah, exactly. But when we're able to, even if we say, I'm not going to try and solve that problem or completely understand the concept of hell, but even if we just take it off the table and begin examining Jesus' words outside of that context, we begin to see the power that we have to rule and reign in the here and now, and that the kingdom of God, which is the kingdom of heaven, is a kingdom of restoration, peace, love, and the things that we're hoping for, right, in the future in paradise, are things that we are called to claim right now. And there was a quote, and I can't remember it exactly, but somebody was like, "We pray," and it wasn't. It was they're not. They don't follow Jesus, I believe, but it was really, really interesting. They were like, "Well, we pray to the gods, and like, the gods wonder when we will answer our own prayers." Like, and the concept stands the same. Like, we pray and we yearn and we long for a better day, not realizing that Jesus has given us the power to bring that in right now in relationship with him. So those are, it was like a throwing a few different topics out there, but those are the things that kind of bubbled up at first that maybe we can tease off.
Yes. Oh, yeah, such resonance with all of that, Edie, and and just like still even feeling like the depths of your story and just all of that that you brought forward and just honoring that so much. And you know, something when you were speaking that I was reminded of was like, yeah, even in the Gospel of John, you know, in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all use, you know, the word kingdom, you know, kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. But the way John describes it is actually from the Greek word zoe, which means divine life. And I really feel like that's such a beautiful emanation of like what Jesus was speaking to was like, the kingdom is now. The kingdom is here, you know, in this divine life that you are co-creating with me to bring heaven onto earth, essentially through awakening that within your own hearts. And I know that's something that we both speak a lot about and share a lot of different textures of. And I feel like, yeah, this is a big reclamation because it does bring us into a different posturing and state with God where I feel like, yeah, in religion, you know, yeah, so much focus is on just like, yeah, behavioral correction, doing the right thing, you know, being in this like very black and white. And I just kind of say like this like lackluster love, you know, of just very like surface level. I'm not saying everyone is this way in the church, but I'm just saying like generally, like, okay, I go to church on Sundays, I sing my hymns or I sing the songs, I listen to the message, and then I go home and I just go about the rest of my week, like not burning with the holy fire of God's love in my heart. And I feel relationship in this more like deeper intimacy that I'm just feeling you speak of that comes from like, yes, there's still a holy reverence in how we receive and perceive God. Like for me,
Absolutely.
there's still like this lifting up of my heart and this opening and locking eyes with his goodness and his love. But almost like for me, worship is this, it's a supernatural exchange of presence. It's like as God is pouring down, and I was just feeling this when you're saying it's like as he's pouring down his love and his grace and his glory and his power, my heart is just getting cracked open to hold those things more widely and then to pour that overflow into the world around me. And it's like this beautiful, I almost see it as it's a circuitry, like similar to how husband and wife are, like that devotional circuitry of like, I bring my praise and my gratitude and my reverence and my thanksgiving to the Lord, to God, but simultaneously, He's flowing down his power and his glory into me to steward that and serve that, devotionally. And that's just like, this is a totally different posture. This is it's the co-creative posture. It's being a person of the kingdom, kind of posture, which does call us into a more, out of this bondage state and into empowerment and liberation. And yeah, I would love, I mean, anything that's like coming through with that, Edie, and like, yeah, just like what it really means to walk in power and authority, because I too believe this is what Christ was calling us into. For you will do far greater works than me, right? It's like we've really missed this almost like co-glorification piece, like in religion, because the focus is just so much on, what God saved us from, instead of, yeah, it's like, I'm just going to keep going back, like what he saved us for. Like there's a whole other piece to this.
And I love how you describe worship. That's so beautiful, because that's so true. And I love how you describe it, the circuitry. That's such a fun
I
metaphor.
was feeling it when you were like speaking. I was like, I was just like seeing a whole vision. And I was like, yes, Edie, yes, okay, this is how I feel it.
I love it. You just have such a way with words. And exactly what we're saved for, like you mentioned, and bringing that healing into the world, which is so key. It's just fascinating to see that sometimes it can be so easy to be at war with the world, not realizing that it's more of a reflection of us, because we're the ones called to heal that wound. And especially if it triggers us, we're called to bring love to it. And I think we can get so it can be easy to fall back into that place of judgment, frankly, just judgment of the places we're in, the people we're around, and step out of that circuitry of love, that circuitry of faith, that our prayers, that our actions even matter, and move into that Pharisaical judgment, right? And Jesus said about the Pharisees, you heap on all of these laws and rules, and you do nothing. You don't lift a finger to help them, and it can be so easy to slip back into that place. And so I loved what you say about, again, just that reminder of what we're saved for. And I think it's something I've been pondering on, and even how to communicate well is even within that, our beloved identity, there is also the beloved and the co-creator are not always we're not always operating in both. I think that, like, there's been, and even it's not even like, okay, now I'm operating co-creator and I'm just vibrating over here and say, we move in seasons, and even in different situations, God is calling us to different things. I think that at times, I think that when we have tasted and seen the goodness of God, and when we just see how we just that heart cracking love, and we're just saturated and satiated, it almost feels ungrateful to be hungry for more. To be hungry for the tangible, and then we reach this level where we now hold the love and intention for others, and that's easy, that's easier. But then holding that in love and intention for us can be harder. Like, how Jesus says, ask and receive. We can ask as beloved daughters for others, no problem. Where we've moved out of the Pharisaical space largely we're operating in love, and we can ask for that person to receive that influx, that they need, with their finances. We can ask for their desires for relationship to be met, etc. But then as a beloved daughter, we're like, well, I'm just so full on you, Father. Like, can I really ask for more? And is it wrong for me to want that influx in my business? Is it wrong for me to want that relationship? And I think that's like another layer that, again, feels heretical almost as a beloved daughter. Like, this should just be enough. And I know God will take care of me as he always had. But then there's that deeper level of understanding. Like he said, ask, seek, knock. Moving into that co-creator power even more is even more boldly approaching the throne of grace and understanding that the security in your relationship goes both ways. Just as you're secure in relationship with God, God sees you and knows you, and he knows your heart, that you're not with him as a genie in the bottle, like to make him a genie in the bottle. Like, he delights to shower you. I think of, healthy parents with their kids. Like, I have my two girls, and like they're my youngest daughter in particular is just such a little tender thing. She just turned two. And when she
So
comes and waddles up, yes, and asks for my tablet, like, I say no at times because it's not for her good. But then oftentimes I do say yes just because she's so cute. And like, of course, like you asked, and that's how God is towards us. He says, ask, seek, knock. Like, he's not a helicopter parent. He's going to allow you the space to learn how to operate in your voice and to deepen in your comfortability and your trust in the relationship. And that requires learning how to speak up. And he's going to provide the space for that. He always meets our needs, and there are levels that he allows us to choose to opt into by operating in deeper belief and faith that it is okay to ask for these things, that it is okay to bring to him our desires. I'm not sure if that makes sense. That was a lot.
Oh no, it really did. And I'm so happy that this piece is coming in, 'cause even as you were speaking that, I was noticing in myself, like, yeah, how easy it is for me to pray for others and to like ask for the blessing and the miracle for
Oh,
others.
yeah.
I witnessed this right now in my own conception journey. I mean, I sit in prayer all morning, praying for pregnancy for my sisters, healthy pregnancy for those that have been blessed already in their womb. But then when it comes time for me to really ask for that fertile abundance in my womb, I feel like sometimes the shakiness in my own voice or the hesitation of, can I really ask for, again, like the fullness of this miracle? Like, I've really had to wrestle with this in myself and sit with, like, yeah, wow, why is it so easy to ask for others, but it seems so challenging at times to ask for myself? And exactly what you said, it's like, ask and you shall receive. It's like, whatever you withhold, God can't put a hand on. So it's like, bring it all forward. Like, we have to bring the fullness of, ourselves, our emotions, our feelings, everything that we're going through, and the blessings that we wish for, like, to him, so that he can lay a hand on it and put his hand on it and do, the healing or whatever gets to happen for that thing to really come in its fullness to us. And this really does, it really moves us from, yeah, kind of that feeling, I guess, of like powerlessness or even greed, like that very unconscious, like, greed. Oh, I'm too much if I ask for, I mean, finances is another good one. If I
Big
ask
one.
for, right, abundance, we have so much conditioning around money and through the church and religion, the greed and the idolship, that's preached around that it feels like really big to say, God, like, wow, thank you for all these blessings. I find this for myself and my business, like, wow, thank you for all the blessings and the beauty and the goodness and more, like, more, please. It, like, in a way that's coming from, like, I just feel it as how you're saying, Edie, is like, because I want to glorify you and your kingdom more fully. But it's like, but also, like, widen my capacity to hold more, because I want to be able to steward more of your resources. And again, show me how to do that responsibly and in your name, but also standing in the belief that I'm worthy of that. Like, I get to be worthy of that. And I always say, it's like, for me personally, I've realized, like, authority comes by way of first knowing your beloved identity. Like, that has to be reinforced for
100%.
you really to believe that you are worthy of what God is trying to deliver to you.
100%. And I love how you said that, allowing God to put his hands on it, because that's true, because the desires don't go away. The ones that are soul deep, that are actually God's voice and his implanted, embedded vision and destiny for us, don't go away. And so we're essentially saying, no, I don't want your help with this. Even in trying to reject the desire, and that's a deeper thing, and this is not said in condemnation or to create any fear or frenzy. But rejecting our desires, again, those I like to say macro desires versus micro desires. Micro desires maybe for ice cream or to take a nap, you know, those are we can parse those out. There's a little different, but those macro desires, like for a family, for a business that impacts this many people, et cetera. These are hints and nuggets from God, and to ignore them and reject them is ignoring and rejecting God's voice. Again, not to bring condemnation or frenzy, but to bring that openness and ease that you have every right, and in fact, your duty as a daughter of the king is to explore what is this that's bubbling in you. It doesn't mean that it has to come to pass or will come to pass exactly as you have in your mind. The how is not in our hands. That's the beautiful part of co-creation. Like, and this is something to definitely, because I know sometimes people can get a little fidgety around those words. It feels a little too close to self-sourcing and like and godless manifestation. But this is what co-creational, devotional manifestation, however you want to say it, is all about, is bringing that desire to the front and holding that faith, whatever little bit of faith we have, and allowing God to worry about the how, and bringing with it, like you said, the integrity of our beloved identity, the integrity of creatrixes who care about the collective, who care about this earth and care about people. You know, I saw a post once and somebody was like, well, all you master manifestors, why don't you manifest peace or like an end to world hunger? And it was funny, but it was kind of true, right? Like you said, there's, as kingdom women, there's this responsibility for stewardship and ownership. It doesn't mean that God only blesses us to bless others. He blesses us to bless us, just as he blesses others to bless them. But there is that element of empress identity, right? We want to steward well. We want to expand the kingdom and bring more love, joy, and peace.
Yes.
Yeah, and one other thing, towards the end, when you were talking about, I lost it. Sorry. I
It'll
think
probably come back.
it will. Yeah, it will. It will. But that's what came up when you were mentioning some of those things. Oh, I think it was around, oh, the actual act of like creating with God. And I did mention that a little bit, and that our desire is an energy that we can alchemize with God and is transmuted into its realization. That, you know, I think when we think of creation, we're like, okay, let me make my list, make my plan, and then set my hand to the plow. But the beautiful thing about the spiritual realm and the metaphysical world is that it's really not physical, right? It's intangible, it's in the unseen. And so God will instruct us and guide our path, but our work, honestly, some of the hardest work is to allow that desire to rise up unhindered and to hold the faith that God can and will do it, for your highest good, for the highest good of all of his children, honestly. And it's hard because it's so opposite to our, if we've received that. And like you said, the religious programming infiltrates, that striving, that orphan spirit infiltrates everywhere. Like if that programming is alive and well in us, where we believe we have to do, earn, struggle and strife, and that must be connected to seeing things come to fruition, then the hardest work is to believe that it doesn't have to be that hard. It doesn't have to be that painful. It doesn't have to be that afflictive to receive these good things. And
Yeah.
that's why this is the co-creator, walking in your co-creator identity is so beautiful, and it can be so hard because it's counter to so much of what we've imbibed, what we've received, you know. And
Totally.
there is just like squeamishness around it at times, because we do, it can feel, if we're not recalibrating ourselves, it can feel ungrateful, like we mentioned. But under there's another passage that said God requires that we believe that he blesses those who seek after him. We must believe that God wants that God
Yes.
not wants to, but and does bless us. And Jesus said, you know, you who are wicked, if your child asks for bread, you know, you're not going to give him a stone, et cetera. The same way, you know, and it's this deep understanding that it is well, and it's part of the identity that God wants for us, not just, oh, we get to do it, and I guess I can ask for things, I'll be I'm the, being the problem child, but God will still do it. But like, no, he wants us to. He wants to build with us.
Yeah, like yearns to build with us, like yearn to co-create, yearns to walk beside. Oh my gosh, I love all of that so much, Edie. Just like, yeah, taking in the layers of those pieces that you brought in. And yeah, what was coming up at the end is, yeah, just like my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Like, like it doesn't have to be heavy and hard, and like we don't have to stay in suffering and toiling and, like this whole consciousness that's been created. It's like, oh, can we really. Something that one of my pastors, Bill Johnson, has been saying, and it just really landed in my heart. It's like, yeah, people of the kingdom rejoice before the blessings arrive, like before the miracles delivered. Like, we're happy because we rejoice because we know God's faithfulness. We know and trust that his promise prevails. And as we ask, we will receive, and our desires are his desires. Like, this is the vision that he wants for us if our hearts are yoked and yielded to his heart. And like, he is making everything beautiful in its time. And like you said, I love that you use the word empress. It's so funny you use that word, Edie, because before I came back to God and had my big encounter with Christ in 2020, the program that I was leading before that, when I started my business, was called the Embodied Empress. And it was like all about really kingdom. Like, I wasn't aware of it at the time, but it was really speaking to these energetics of, yeah, like what it means to be a mature, holy, responsible woman who is of service and is designed to be in stewardship for, and with the resources that God has gifted her. And again, not in a martyr way, but truly just in this like holy, beautiful, devotional way that just pours from her chalice of overflow because she is so filled by the love and the grace and the glory of God. And I feel like for a lot of women, yeah, this really does start to shift us from, I love that you said genie in a bottle too. I say that all the time. It like shifts us out of that, like, I think a lot of women can go into God initially from transaction, like, because we're just so used to transaction of like, okay, I want this, so this is what I'm going to bring, and God, please give it to me. And then when I get that thing, I'll trust that you're good. But if I don't get it, I maybe still think that you're punishing and tyrannical. And we get like this very hot cold, or again, it's just very transactional. Whereas like kingdom is co-creational. It's like you're in rest because you trust in his faithfulness, and you're asking, you're bringing those desires. Like you said, you're like, and I love your desire meditation, Edie. It's been so supportive for me. It's like, drop into that, descend into the desire, circulate it, feel it, be in it, and be in the co-creation with God around this, and really ask, okay, so then what is the next step I get to take with you to bring this into, life, and to create fruit from this. And it's just, I think a lot of women really get caught in like the collapse of like, I'm just gonna lean back and I'm passive and God will do this work for me now that I'm in him. And I think even just biblically, like all the submission and just women, you're meant to be submissive and quiet and dim and just stay over here, and you don't have any power and authority. And that is definitely not what God tells us at all. It's being in that stewardship. Again, it's being in the attunement, the listening. What I love that you said too, God speaking in this whisper, because I feel that so much. God to me speaks in a whisper so that I come closer to his heart. And it's like, as a woman, am I creating spaciousness and stillness to receive
Good.
the whisper of that word? So then I can walk forth in the word, right? It's like one thing. I'm feeling very fiery now. I'm like, that's one thing.
Okay, bring
A lot's coming up for me. I know. I'm like, a lot's coming up. Oh, you brought this out of me, Edie. It's like really good, but
it.
it's like, I think of this a lot. Like, it's one thing to receive a revelation, but it's a whole other thing to walk in the revelation and to really declare your authority and power to walk in the fullness of that revelation God has given you. And I think, yeah, a lot that are still in this like other paradigm, right? They're not emboldened with the courage and the conviction to walk in it, because we can only do that when we're really yoked relationally with God and like know that he wants this for us, and he wants us to be in this co-creative relationship with him.
Yeah, that is so good. And I love Fire and Nina.
You're bringing
kind
it
of
out
bring out
in me,
more
Edie. I'm like, a
personality.
lot's coming up.
Good. I love it. And there's a couple things here that I mean, I just love it. And I agree that just, oh, that holy activation of your potency. Because if you've been in the space where you're like, I'm boss babe, I got this, I don't need anybody, that can feel, you don't want to go back to that place. And I get that. You're,
Totally.
yeah, like you're like, and I know I've been there. Like,
Same.
I don't want to go back into that fragmenting space of self-sourcing. And so then there is this overcorrection, you know, I'm gonna just be the damsel. I'm just gonna be rescued. And I don't want to go back in that place. And like, sister, if you're listening to this, like, you can trust yourself and you can trust God. And even if you fall back into that, God led you out once, he'll lead you out again. But like, you, that's the beauty of operating in a paradigm where it's not about right or wrong, but it's about, like, how do I even, it's about following the voice, and it's about coming fully with your full, complete self, every atom, every dark nook and cranny, every crevice. God can guide it and alchemize what needs to be alchemized, and strengthen what needs to be strengthened. But like, you don't have to be afraid that you're going to like some like ever be ever run out of chances. You know, like, I think what really helped set me free was, one, just addressing the fact that God is so big. Like, he's big enough to get through to me, like, and get through the Pharisee who could spit any verse at you. He was big enough to
Totally.
get through to me, and to be in this space now where the same people that I was hanging with are like, are you going to hell because I think you're a heretic? And I'm like, wow, this is such a change.
Yeah, I'm called heretical like every day, Edie, so I'm with you
Oh gosh.
on
Yes. Oh my goodness. And so was Jesus. They said they
Yeah.
thought he was filled with demons. So,
Yep.
and but if God could get through to me, I'm like, I know that if I am walking a path that is misaligned and will lead to non-flourishing, that he can get through to me. And so if there is something within you that is just hungry for more, hungry for bigger, it's okay to yield to it. It's okay to explore it. It's okay to bring it up, sit in it. What is it trying to tell you? I think that we can get so afraid of ourselves, especially if you've been beaten to death with the verses about, you know, righteousness like filthy rags, the heart is deceitful, which it's interesting. Most, like, several of those verses are about us when we are not aligned and able to, and don't have the spiritual power to help ourselves. But whatever.
Totally.
All saying that to say that that's not our current state. You know what I'm saying? But anyways, if you've been beaten to death with that, there's probably a lot of internalized mistrust of yourself, mistrust of your ability to hear God's voice, fear of anything that sounds like being empowered and being strengthened. But the idea of being empowered is neither good nor bad. It's who are you empowered? What are you empowered in? What is the ideal? What is the energy that is empowering you? You know, embodiment is not good or bad. What are you embodying? Channeling is not good or bad. What are you channeling? And
Yeah.
so I just wanted to just throw that out there for the sister who may be feeling that, feeling like, gosh, I wish I could get up and talk. I wish I could get up and preach. I wish I could just say more. I wish I could XYZ. Like, bring that to God, bring that up. You don't immediately squish it or squash it if it's burning within you. And I think another kind of cause, oftentimes, particularly again, if you've grown up in the church, but not necessarily, is the downplaying of the feminine aspects of the Godhead. And this is something that we've riffed on a little bit, that it doesn't just feel what you said, feel like the perfect transition is, yeah, that femininity is divine, just like masculinity. But that's something that's been so hidden and so misinterpreted throughout church history and in the present day.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to go there now,
Right.
Edie. And I just love, I just feel like what you brought in was such a holy permission slip, like just a liberation for women of really being in, yeah, the declaration of their desires, bringing these things to God, like posturing their hearts in this way and knowing and trusting, you know, their God-given power and authority as a wildly creational being, as the feminine. I mean, we are so creational and we're designed to be in this, yeah, beautiful creational circuitry with God, right? And yeah, so so good, Edie. And yeah, this feels like a perfect segue into, yeah, this other piece we wanted to talk about was, yeah, this feminine aspect. You know, I think a lot of women, myself included, I think this is why I unconsciously was like, man, no God, you know, in my 20s, because I was like, I don't hear any voice of the feminine. I only feel the suppression and the oppression of the feminine through the church and through religion. And that was something that, yeah, was very triggering to me. And I couldn't understand that because I knew Jesus's heart. And I was like, Jesus's heart is not oppressive at all. So I'm like, where, how do we make sense of this? And for me, even in my, you know, experience with the Holy Spirit, you know, I have felt that energy is both a masculine and feminine presence, both penetrative and piercing, and also diffuse and wide, and more mystical. So yeah, there's just, I would love for you to riff and speak on, yeah, just like how we can still, yeah, reclaim the feminine aspect and, you know, even knowing, yeah, like this piece around wisdom and how that shows up in the Holy Spirit. And also just even, you know, I think I've said this enough on the podcast that enough of the women hopefully know this, but like, yeah, for me too, it's like God transcends a gender. Like I don't even see, like, yes, I know I call God Father and I do have that really beautiful, rightful relationship with him. And I believe the Holy Mother exists within the Father. I believe, you know, even in like, what is it, Genesis 1:26, it
That's
says like, right, and then God created them in our image, and he uses the word us, and I was always like, huh, us, who's the us, right? So to me, that really illuminated, like, masculine, feminine, if we are male and female, right, we have to be created from, you know, the bigness and fullness of that. And then even knowing more about, you know, even in Proverbs, when it speaks to lady wisdom, it's that feminine consciousness. And that's, you know, essentially what they were speaking to as what Christ was incarnate, you know, this wisdom. So it's just really, and I'm all about the Gnostic text too. So I go all the places because I think to understand what's in the Bible, you got to also look at what's outside of the Bible and
That's
put the
good.
pieces together. But yeah, that's been some of my exploration. And yeah, Edie, I'm just so curious about that piece for you.
Yeah, and I love that you brought in Genesis 1:26, 'cause yes, it's and it's interesting 'cause you can see bias depending on what translation you read, right?
Right.
But it's exactly, they said, let us make mankind ha Adam in our image. Male and female will make mankind. And I think like, but it depending on what you read, it'll say, let us make man, and or let us make mankind, let us make Adam, not
Right.
bringing out the fullness of that. And so I think that's just so beautiful to see that from the beginning. And like you said, and once you stop and think about it, you're like, oh, of course, like Holy Father, Holy Son, like Holy Mother, like that's how,
Yeah,
like, you know,
holy daughter.
that's
Like,
again,
who are
right?
you
Exactly.
talking
Yeah, like this is how the mechanics work. But exactly what you said, like there's this beautiful thread running through the Old Testament into the New Testament of the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, and this beautiful feminine presence. And like you said, also, even outside of that, like God himself refers him to himself as, I think, Adonai, which is like the one who nurtures the breasted one, right? And so
Yeah.
they're even outside of just kind of pinning the Holy Spirit as feminine, like you mentioned, you experience the Holy Spirit in both masculine and feminine essence. The Godhead itself shows us that there is they he you know however they what I don't know transcend gender and also bring to us all these archetypically feminine and masculine qualities. And I think what's interesting about, again, archetypically the feminine essence is that it is often more hidden and veiled, and it's like I love how you said diffuse. And so in so much, but not the head, right? And that's why I think the Holy Spirit has been so misunderstood, because you need the eyes to see and the ears to hear and the openness of heart to receive. Because once you see that, then you see in Proverbs, Lady Wisdom, then you see as God nurtures and calls himself like a hen, gathering Israel to his to himself, you begin to see almost not behind the scenes, but almost like subtext, this
Totally.
feminine essence that is weaved throughout all of this. And how people view the Holy Spirit is such a good barometer for how they view women. I've noticed that. You know what I'm saying? And not even,
Totally.
yes, not even, I know there's denominational differences. But it's just been so fascinating to hear certain people talk. And I'm like, you have a lot of strong feelings about the Holy Spirit. And somehow you have a lot of strong feelings about women. How is this so? But
Yeah, related.
it's this barometer. And where was I at? It was probably you actually. And I don't know, we may have somewhere we were talking about, oh, it was a, I remember where I was at, but talking about also how you perceive Jesus, and like, how do I say? There's some people who are repulsed by Christ because of his gentleness, because of his meekness,
Totally.
and because of the ways that he embodies the feminine with the masculine. And again, a great barometer, but once you if you don't have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, you will just edit out and not recognize how the feminine is present in all of this and imbued and imbued in all of this. But once you, again, these little breadcrumbs that you start picking up on, like us make us in their image, like, huh, like mankind. And then you start noticing these breadcrumbs, you begin to see that it's weaved within. And
Yeah, I love what you brought in there, Edie. Because it's like, and the Holy Spirit illuminates those little breadcrumbs and subtleties to us, right? It's like that
Good.
spirit of love and truth, and what gifts us the wisdom of discernment. And this, to me, it's like that deeper perception that only exists through the deepest realm of the heart. Like Mary Magdalene talked about this, it was called the new in Greek, like nous, like that place between soul and spirit, like quite literally, like the deepest chamber of perception that exists right here. And I always found that to be so fascinating. And I also find it fascinating that, yeah, Christ revealed himself first to Mary Magdalene after the resurrection. I'm like, huh, like she was probably the only one with that opened, receptive perception to receive him, right? And to like recognize him and have that experience with him, right? So, and Edie, I would love to, yeah, just like touch on, because I feel like the Holy Spirit is a little bit confusing for people. Like, I mean, I just taught a whole class on this in the membership, and I realize, I mean, and for myself too, it's like, okay, for me now, and what I feel and understand is like, yeah, the Holy Spirit is really the spirit of the living God that dwells within us, and really what puts us in this circle dance of love with God and the Son, and you know, the wind of the Spirit dancing together, like no hierarchy between those three things. It's essentially, it's like the Holy Spirit is what gifts us embodied encounter, and really what gives us the ability to perceive Christ clearly, like really illuminates the truth of Christ. And then obviously in the cosmology, I believe, then I feel, you know, Jesus reveals the truth of God, like the true nature of God, and illuminates everything God has to say about himself. So, but I still feel like, yeah, in women, it's like, how do I know I'm connected to the Holy Spirit? Or like, what is that like in my body? And yeah, what is this piece of the triune relationship? And yeah, I would love for you to just speak to any of your experience with that, a little deeper to illuminate that for women.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, you just described that so beautifully. And yeah, I come from a charismatic background, so Holy Spirit was definitely front and center. Never in the more in the flame and fire and the showiness almost, not necessarily in the stillness within. And not one is not better than the other, one is not bad, but
Totally.
I think that, and this is something I don't know hard and fast. I believe that there, I think that the Holy Spirit can feel like our intuition a lot of times. And I think that when we come into the kingdom, we allow, like, you know, people say, let Jesus come into your heart.
That's ADD. You just had like a thumbs up, like literally randomly show up on her screen when she said that. So
Right.
confirmation.
Okay. We'll keep on going. I think oh yeah, like allow Jesus in your heart. I've mentioned that to my daughter, and she's like, "How is Jesus little in my heart?" Like, she was kind of distressed about it. I was like, and this was, yeah, I was like, let's cycle back. Let's roll this back. But I think when we enter the kingdom and we say yes to enter into the stance, like you said, so beautifully, we allow Holy Spirit to like almost plug into our inbuilt system and just supercharge it. You know what I'm saying? Because I definitely believe you don't have to have a relationship with God to have the intuition. He loves us. He wants us to be well and safe, and he provides that for anybody, even those who reject him and don't believe in him. And once we enter into this relationship, I believe the Holy Spirit comes in and supercharges that. So I think if you're for ladies who are listening who may be like, you know, is this God? Is this me? I want to say this, and everybody's in such a different place. I think start with what is known and what has continued to bring you flourishing. Reflecting on the results, not the results, but the fruit of what that guidance was leading you. And the big thing I think is that peace, right? Feeling that stillness, feeling that quietness within about a direction or a course. There's been times where the voice, where it's less of that inner impression. And there was one time, and I haven't had it just like this, but there's one time I feel like God impressed something on me, and I was like, in my like spirit mind was like, but XYZ, and literally like a voice in my spirit mind was like, da da da. And then I was like, da da da. And I was like, did I just talk to the Holy Spirit, like just like
Totally.
conversationally? Yeah. It may not, for some people, maybe that's more frequent, you know, but don't just, yeah, just follow that peace and begin with what is known for you. If your intuition and your guidance has led you to this point and you're in relationship with Christ, obviously it's doing something right. Like there's something within you that is guiding you, right? And can and just continue to latch on to that, I believe. And I think that sorry, so that was like, yeah, like recognizing Holy Spirit. I'd be curious for you, Nina, like how you experience that in your soma, and how you guide people into moving deeper to understand the Holy Spirit as well.
Well, I really love how you just described that when you said supercharge. I was like, yes, wow, like viscerally, I feel that. And I also really love that you brought intuition into it because I think that they are wholly connected. And I love this inquiry that you brought in around, you know, what has been the fruit of following that intuition. That's a really, I mean, you just even reminded me of that in myself. It's like, oh yeah, that's what I can look at to really witness, like, right? Like, okay, so was this from God or maybe this is from something else? And again, it's not bad. We're always divinely redirected, reguided, all the things, but to really witness, like, yeah, what has been that fruit? And then that can help us deepen the relationship with the Holy Spirit. 'Cause yeah, for me, yeah, it does. It feels, and we were saying this in the membership, it's, you know, for me, it feels like the fire, the water, and the wind all at once. It's like this pneuma, this wind, this energy of quite literal inspiration, you know, in many ways of receiving God's breath into my heart and like his word, and then how that gets to emanate and be stewarded through me. And it also feels like a fire, a holy fire that burns in my belly and my heart. Like I always know when it's like, it's, I know that you know when you're in the CD, it's like, yeah, when it, you just know that you're not speaking. It's literally just like the passion burning through you and just like God's word, like moving through the vessel, and you're almost like out of body. You know, this is what happens to me a lot when I'm sure same for you. Like when you teach, it's just like, because I always do pray, you know, just let this be led by God and the Holy Spirit and just take me out of it and just let it move through. And then it feels like, yeah, this water that moves through my system, like that feminine aspect too, that is more diffuse and also rises from the marrow of the mystery and like this deeper well in myself. But I really love what you said about intuition, because I think this is where a lot of women start, is like, is it my intuition? And I say very similar to what you said, like, yeah, I do believe there's a deep connection. Cause for me too, and this was something that came through really with one of my mentors, Jillian Pothier, not too long ago, but she really illuminated. She's like, intuition is receiving that penetration from God. It's receiving the penetration of the masculine. It's receiving, like, again, like from here, like just channeling down into your system to give you that inspiration. I'm like, oh, that's how Holy Spirit feels to me. Whereas like instinct, which most people would think like, oh, instinct is masculine. But for me, instinct is actually feminine. It's actually coming from like a deeper core part of me that's like very internalized. Whereas intuition feels like the pouring down, pouring in. That gives me some kind of direction, guidance, you know, that is from God, because it came from Him. And then it's, just being able to hear that and listen and attune to that clearly. And like you said, like, and then witness the fruit. So what became created from that? But yeah, it's such a, I mean, there's a lot of good questions that the women asked in the membership last month. And I was like, I don't know all the answers. You know, it's like, as I always say, it's just like, this is such a, just like with God, this is a personal and unique essence and relationship that you cultivate. But I feel, and I just encourage women, like, pray, just pray for it. You know, God, help me, support me in deepening my relationship with the Holy Spirit, you know, reveal to me what that's like, you know, show me, you know, because I think we have some of these bigger encounters with it. And I've had a couple of those. And then other times I'm just like, God, you there? What's going on? I don't feel like as moved by the wind right now. And God is still like, I'm right here, but He's reminding me lately. It's just about like, how deeply are you willing to engage with me? And that's been like a really big question I've been asking myself, is like, yeah, I know He's here, but like, have I been engaging? How have I been bringing my hunger to Him? Have I been, again, asking, right? Asking for the things and expressing that desire to be in intimacy with God and the Holy Spirit? Or am I just like walking on my own accord over here? Because we do that, we're human. So yeah, that's been another piece that's come through for me, like in this process with the Holy Spirit, is like, yeah, what is my level of engagement? You know, how open am I? And like, how burning am I in my desire to really be filled, you know, with that presence?
Yeah, I love that. That's so, so beautiful. And so it's just wonderful to know that it is a relationship. I know it sounds like so simple, but it just is inspiring. Yeah, to just come back to that place that you can have as much as you want. Like, I can have as much as I want. We can have as much as we want. And the relationship just deepens and deepens with ourself, with that connection with God. And I love that. And I think that, and something I'll say as well, is that it is so important to fill up with love, and to fill up with the kingdom. Like how I mentioned that I mistook the voice of God for the voice of the enemy, because it was so, God's character was so misrepresented. And it's like biofeedback, they call it, in the body, but like the body affects the mind and the mind affects the body, et cetera. But your intimacy with God affects how you view Him, and how you view Him affects your intimacy. And it's this beautiful dance. And we just, we incorporate spiritual practices on both ends and all ways to just bolster that, and to make that dance tighter and tighter, almost, and you know, as it becomes one, in a sense. Because I've been in situations where it can be let's see, let me think about this, because I want it to be, to make sure it's helpful and for the woman listening. I think that just what I want to say is the love and the peace and the expansion as well. Mm-hmm. I think is another good yardstick is, does it feel constricting? Does it feel, sorry, I have like a mental, you know, when you like a spiritual impression, but I'm trying to put it in words, like, does it feel jagged, or does it feel expansive? Does it feel, it might feel stretching, but not destructive. We can also, you know, our inner critic, you know, trauma, different things, again, not in judgment of ourselves, it could be tempting to want to deify these things and believe that God also feels this way about us. That's why having these anchors of our community that can pour back into us, that's why I love your community, that can pour back into us and reflect back to us this love, and having, you know, texts and scriptures or however you engage in that way that can anchor us when our mental and internal state can get harrowed. And this is a continuous journey, right? Like this past week has been intense. Call it warfare, call it just natural cycles, you know, but I was able to come back to ask and the gift is yours in Matthew, you know, ask and seek, knock. There's in the passion, it says ask and the gift is yours. And I was like, that just, I needed that. It landed in my body. It helped me say, okay, this voice is saying hustle and the gift is yours. Okay, that's not gone. This voice is saying self-flagellate and the gift is yours. Okay, that's not, you know. And so having these filters to ground ourselves and begin to say, to strengthen and allow this voice to get louder and these voices to quiet is so important. And remembering these voices also just, they carry data and we can answer them. That's something that my coach, that was really powerful. Like these voices of conviction, not conviction, like that feel more condemning and shameful. We could say, okay, why do you say that? What is your goal? What am I trying to bring? And we'll be able to start understanding more of our beliefs, more of our subconscious programming.
Yeah.
But the voice of love and peace and expansion you can ask that same question and, you know, it'll be an answer of love, expansion of peace. And so I also want to say that, especially for women who are, you know, may struggle with some of those internal narratives, to be gentle with yourself and to find those scriptures and those characteristics or whatever that you can anchor and filter things through.
Mm. Oh, I love that you spoke that through, Edie. This is such an important piece. I mean, this was such a reminder for me too. I'm like, I needed to hear that. I was just blessed by that word, because this is so part of our experience. And I feel there was something in there. I mean, there was many things that you said in there, but yeah, it's like, we have to just so untangle like our perceptions of ourselves off of how we think God feels about us. And like, it's a process. It's an unraveling, it's an untangling, and it gets to be done with gentleness and patience and time and love and compassion and forgiveness to self. Cause we've all been impacted by things outside of us that have, you know, cultivated these beliefs and these thoughts. And it really is, it's this journey back to know the true heart and character of God and what he truly wants for me. And you just expressed that so powerfully. And like the women here, I know that listener are going to just receive so much from the whole conversation, but like that piece, I think really illuminated something for the women who will be receiving this. So reminder from me and Edie, like gentleness and kind of, you know, and just being with that. And Edie, is there anything else alive that you feel wants to move through the space, the conversation?
I think the only other thing would be that you have time and the goal is not expediency. If there is a goal, the goal is alignment and truth, the truth of where you are now, and the truth of where you want to go, the truth of what God thinks of you. Like, how do I say, like, being in utter openness and truth of what is within is the biggest and best thing you can do, I believe. More than trying to quantum leap through whatever or tuck this away so you don't have to deal with it or move on to the next thing. Like, God is not, there is no timeline where God is not working everything for your good. And it can feel like sometimes I feel like, oh my gosh, I wasted so many years. Like, I feel like behind sometimes in my spirituality specifically, you know, like
same
and different things. Yeah. But there's like, you are on the right path. You are, God is guiding you. And as you continue to allow more and more of you to be held, to be seen, to come to light, and to not hide away and cover yourself, but to let them truly come to light. Like, the deeper and deeper the bliss, the deeper and deeper the kingdom abundance, the deeper and deeper you experience that easy yoke, that light burden. And so I think along with gentleness, I just want to say that you have time. You're on the right timeline. You've got time. God's in no rush. Like, it's all good. It's all good. It's all good.
Amen. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I love that expression, utter openness, like utter openness. Oh, that just moves something. And yeah. And this permission slip with timing, and like, God has you on perfect timing, and we get to trust that. Oh yeah. Just what a gift, Edie. I could just melt in. Yeah. What we shared and your words and all your own relational revelations that you've received from God. They're just so potent and powerful. And I know this is going to bless and serve so many women. And Edie, I would love to have the women here connect with you on, you know, where you are, what you're offering. I mean, Edie has a wonderful app. She has beautiful meditations and workbooks and so many amazing things. So yeah, just share all the things of how these women can connect and receive your work and what you're sharing.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yes, this has been a beautiful time. Yeah, so I am. So I'm like, like,
I know. We're like moving from like the
getting out of the ether, like coming out. Yes, Instagram is my jam. That's where I'm at most of the time, at Garden Restored. And like Nina mentioned, I have an app. So just resources to help you step into that abundance and unwind shame for wanting more. And the desire meditation, I think, is very relevant to this conversation.
Yes, it's a great
meditation. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, that's the big thing I'm letting people know about right now, is just to create that space, carve out the time to just sit in what you feel like God is doing in you. And from that, once that spark has been ignited and you've kind of opened that Pandora's box, like, stuff just starts rolling in the most beautiful way. So that's what I would recommend people check out. But aside from that, just talking, I'd love to meet anybody, answer any questions, and just connect.
Yes. Yeah. And I'll have all of Edie's information and her Instagram linked below. And as always, yes, please reach out to us on DM and just share reflections, revelations, insights, questions. We truly love receiving and ultimately being in fellowship, you know, and that's so much of what you were just speaking to, Edie. It's like that fellowship, that communion with one another is really too how we come closer to God's heart and restore relationships. So I'm so grateful, Edie, for our fellowship and friendship and just what gets to open and evolve in my own relationship with God through being yoked with your heart in so many ways. And such a blessing as always. And ladies, just so grateful that you listened, and we'll see you next time on the podcast.